Lord Jesus, we thank you that we can build our lives upon your love, that it is a firm foundation, that when we know and trust you, there is no need to fear or worry. Thank you, Lord, for all that you have done for us on the cross. And thank you that through that, the penalty of death has been lifted and what has been lost has been restored, and that we can sit at your table and enjoy your presence. And so we pray right now, would you come, Holy Spirit, and would you enable us to sense and know your presence with us here today, that you would speak to our hearts and that you would change us, that we may become more like you. Send your Spirit, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. While you're still standing, why don't we just take the opportunity to say hello and move around and say hello to somebody that you don't know, that you've either know very little or you've never met before. Say hi, ask them where they're from. Great. I hope you've met somebody new this morning and said hello, found out where they've come from, what their favourite food is. Can I just remind you of a few things? And first of all, that Alpha will start here in September, a new Alpha course, and there's just a video that I'd love you to watch.
Life moves fast, doesn't it? Every day there is so much to fit in. But do you ever stop and think, what's the point of it all? Do you ever ask yourself, is there more to life than this? Alpha is a series of sessions exploring life, faith, and meaning. It's a space to explore the big questions, to say what you think, and hear other people's points of view. First up, there's food, then a talk, followed by a discussion. Each talk explores a different aspect of the Christian faith, and then in the small group, you get to say exactly what you think. The aim of the talk is to spark conversation, each week unpacking a different question. There's no obligation to say anything, and there's nothing you can't say. Seriously. It's an opportunity to hear from others and contribute your own perspective in an honest, friendly, and open environment. Why not try it out?
So those videos are available online, and you could show a friend a video. You could send them a link on Facebook. You could send them a connection on WhatsApp or Instagram or Snapchat or whatever else you use. Or you could use one of the leaflets that we have and take it and invite somebody to come. They'll come only if we ask. Okay, we put a poster outside and a few people might see that and come. But the majority of people who come on Alpha is because they've received a personal invite. And I'd love you to think about who you could invite. I'm wearing on my wrist a piece of leather with five knots in it. And there are five people that I'm praying for. It reminds me to pray every day for those five people that they would come to know Jesus, but the first step might be giving them an Alpha invite. So I'd love to encourage you to pray about who you could invite on Alpha. And if you've never done Alpha and you're interested in doing it, then do grab one of these leaflets or come and speak to me or Lois afterwards, and we'd love to tell you more about Alpha. And in connection with that, two things. The prayer room continues to be developed. And again, some more has happened this week. It's worth going to have a look at the prayer room. And from the 10th to the 16th of September, we're going to have a week of prayer and fasting. yeah. I'm looking at faces and thinking, fasting? But fasting can take all sorts of different shapes and ways in which you do it. Maybe you want to think about the possibility of not fasting for the whole week, and I don't think that even we will do that. But might be you might think about getting up in the morning and having a small breakfast and then not having anything else for the rest of the day. Or maybe you think about getting up and having nothing for breakfast and then eating a small meal at the end of the day. Or maybe you could fast for 24 hours. Or maybe for 48 hours. Or maybe for 72 hours. Or maybe you could fast from coffee or tea or whatever your favourite beverage happens to be. Or maybe you could fast from the TV. But to use that time to pray and to seek God's face. Somebody has written this: prayer and fasting is defined as the voluntary going without in order to focus on prayer and fellowship with God. Prayer and fasting often go hand in hand, but this is not always the case. You can pray without fasting, and you can fast without praying. It's when these two activities are combined and dedicated to God's glory that they reach their full effectiveness. Having a dedicated time of prayer and fasting is not a way of manipulating God into doing something that you want. Rather, it's simply allowing yourself to focus and rely on God for strength, provision, and for the wisdom that you need and that we need as a church. So from the 10th of September to the 16th, we would love to invite you to join with us in a time of prayer and fasting and using the prayer room and making the most of that to pray about Alpha and to pray that as a church we would see people come not only to Alpha but come to faith and trust in Jesus Christ. So I'm hoping that we can encourage you to do that, and the going without food or whatever it won't be too big a challenge, but be something that you find you can do for God as well. That reminds me that this Monday should be a prayer meeting, but Lois and I are away. But I hope that there will be people who will still want to pray. And if so, the keys in the key safe are available to get in and to use either the prayer room or the lantern room to pray on Monday evening. As most of you, I think, will know, next tomorrow, the road will be blocked off here at the roundabout, and there'll be no access to Bucklesham Road from Felixstowe Road or from Bixley Road. And it will mean for the next 8 weeks, for those of you that drive, there will be a diversion via Felixstowe Road out towards Sainsbury's and then coming back down Strait Road and Bucklesham Road, or alternatively along Foxhall Road and then something Farm Lane or something, isn't it? Monument. Monument, yeah, and back in that way. Please don't stop coming. The car park will be open and the road should be quieter. So do come and still worship together. Lastly, to say that some of you will know Tario. Tari helped us with our last Alpha course. And Tari has applied for ordination and has been accepted. And she will start her ordination training in a few weeks' time in Durham. She was hoping to be here today, but because of a family death, she's unable to be here. But I said that we would tell people that she has been successful. She starts her training for ordination very soon, and that we would continue to pray for her. She intends to visit us again. She's left a big box of biscuits for us to enjoy as part of her farewell, but we will continue to remember and pray for Tari. I think that's all the notices. Let's just take a few moments to confess, shall we, and to think about the things that we've said and done that we shouldn't have done, thought, and also those things that we failed to do, and come before God to confess our sin. God, our Father, we come to you in sorrow for our sins, for turning away from you and ignoring your will for our lives. Father, forgive us. For behaving just as we wish, without thinking of you. Father, forgive us. For failing you by what we do and think and say. Father, forgive us. For letting ourselves be drawn away from you by temptations in the world about us. Father, forgive us. For living as if we were ashamed to belong to your Son. Father, forgive us. So may the Father forgive us by the death of his Son and strengthen us to live in the power of the Spirit all our days. Amen. We have a reading from the book of Samuel.
The reading is from the second book of Samuel, chapter 9. One day David asked, "Is there anyone left of Saul's family? If there is, I would like to show him kindness for Jonathan's sake." There was a servant of Saul's family named Ziba, and he was told to go to David. "Are you Ziba?" the king asked. "At your service, sir," he answered. The king asked him, "Is there anyone left of Saul's family to whom I can show loyalty and kindness, as I promised God I would?" Ziba answered, "There is still one of Jonathan's sons. He's crippled." "Where is he?" the king asked. "At the helm of Machir, son of Ammiel in Lodabar," Ziba answered. So King David sent for him. When Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, grandson of Saul, arrived, he bowed down before David in respect. David said, "Mephibosheth," and he answered, "At your service, sir." "Don't be afraid," David replied. "I will be kind to you for the sake of your father, Jonathan. I will give you back all the land that belonged to your grandfather, Saul, and you will always be welcome at my table." Mephibosheth bowed down again and said, "I'm no better than a dead dog, sir. Why should you be so good to me?" Then the king called Ziba, Saul's servant, and said, "I'm giving Mephibosheth, your master's grandson, everything that belonged to Saul and his family. You, your sons, and your servants will farm the land for your master Saul's family and bring in the harvest to provide food for them. But Mephibosheth himself will always be a guest at my table." Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Ziba answered, "I will do everything your majesty commands." So Mephibosheth ate at the king's table, just like one of the king's sons. Mephibosheth had a young son named Micah. All the members of Ziba's family became servants of Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth, who was crippled in both feet, lived in Jerusalem, eating all his meals at the king's table. This is the word of the Lord.
What a great story. I wonder if you'd been reading that, if you would have known how to say Mephibosheth. Well done, Alice. So how many of you are familiar with that story? I know it's just been read to us, but so how many of you never heard of Mephibosheth before? Oh, several of you. Wow. Samuel, 1 and 2 Samuel, great books to read. So about the history of David. And if you remember, we've been looking at David over these past few weeks, and we looked at David's anointing and how God looks not at the outside, but he looks on the inside. He looks at what we're like in here. And I wonder if God was to look into your hearts today, actually he is, what he would see. What are you like on the inside? One of the things that I find amazing is that here's this youngest of the family, and God calls David to come and serve him, because he's not looking at how handsome he is or how tall he is or whether he's the oldest, but he looks right into his heart and sees that he has a heart for God, and God chooses him and uses him. And then we recapped on that story, didn't we, of David and Goliath. I see that my dog collar is still in place, indicating just how tall Goliath was. And imagine a smallish boy coming up against the giant of a man, Goliath. And that how when we trust God and we know God in our lives, that we can defeat the giants that are in front of us, whether that be sickness or worry or financial condition or our elderly parents, or what are those things that loom large in front of us that actually, with God's help, we can cope with and conquer. And then last week we thought about how Saul was out to kill David, and David had the very opportunity to stab Saul in the back, but he didn't. Actually, he honored the king. Saul's still the king at that stage. And David honored him. And right at the end of that piece of text we read last week about David, when he spares Saul's life, and when David had cried out to Saul and said, "My lord the king, see, I could have killed you, but I didn't." And he honors him with all those titles about being the king, God's anointed one, my father. And Saul realizes just how ridiculous he's been in chasing David. But he also recognizes that David will be the true king. And he says to David before they part, "Now swear to me by the Lord that you will not kill off my descendants or wipe out my name from my father's family." And in the lesson that we see today, what we see is that David honors that promise, that he sticks to the promise that he has made. And again, I would ask us this morning, how good are we at keeping our promises? If we've made a commitment to the Lord, how good are we at keeping the commitment that we've made before him and what we've said that we would do for him? I was thinking earlier this morning that the company I used to work for, we had a new boss. And it wasn't long after the new boss had arrived that most of the tier of directors either found themselves out of a job or leaving a job, because the new boss that had come in had wanted his people in place rather than people probably who had stuck up and would continue to stick up for the old boss. And one of the things that used to happen in this time that we're reading about was that it wasn't unusual if you came in as the conquering king or even as a new king to kill off anybody in the family of the previous king so that they had no claim on the throne. You can even read where brothers would kill their own siblings in order to protect their place on the throne. Actually, in 1 Kings chapter 15, it says that Nadab, son of Jeroboam, became king of Israel in the second year of Asa, king of Judah, and he reigned over Israel 2 years. He did evil in the eyes of the Lord, following the ways of his father and committing the same sins as his father had caused Israel to commit. Baasha, son of Ahijah, from the tribe of Issachar, plotted against him, and he struck him down at Gibbethon, a Philistine town, while Nadab and all Israel were besieging it. Baasha killed Nadab in the third year of King Asa, king of Judah, and succeeded him as king. As soon as he began his reign, he killed Jeroboam's whole family. He did not leave Jeroboam anyone that breathed, but destroyed them all. So here was David. He was not, in that sense, a part of Saul's birth family. And he would have been expected to eradicate all of Saul's family. And so the grandson of Saul, Mephibosheth, is rescued from the city, and his nursemaid runs away with him and takes him out of the way and into a place of safety. And it would have been normal at that time for the king to have searched out those survivors and had them put to death, to execute them. So you could say in one sense that hanging over Mephibosheth is this sentence of death. He's expecting to die. He's been taken away from the palace that would have been his residence. He's been taken away from eating at the king's table where he would have expected to have fed. And he's excluded from all of that. But David does just the opposite to what you would expect. What Mephibosheth is expecting is death. In fact, you see that when Mephibosheth is called to him and he falls on his knees in front of David. The Good News Version doesn't speak of it quite as boldly as some of the other translations. And Mephibosheth falls on his face before him, and David has to say to him, "Don't be afraid. I'm not going to kill you," which is what he would have expected. But what does he get? So that threat of death is removed. The lands that would have been his are restored to him for servants to work on and bring the fruit of that land. And he's given a place at the king's table to eat. His honor and respect is restored. See, we are too in a place that's deserving of death, eternal separation from God. St. Paul says in Romans that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And then he goes on to say that the wages of that sin is death. That's what we deserve. In fact, Paul says, those who are sexually immoral, wicked, covetous, malicious, envious, murderous, deceitful, backbiters. It's a bit what we were talking about last week, isn't it? Stabbing people in the back by our words. Backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death. This morning we also read from the Gospel of John where a woman is brought before Jesus who has committed adultery, and the law says that she should be stoned to death. And they bring her before Jesus to trap Jesus. But what does Jesus do? He has mercy on her. I always ask the question, where's the bloke? If she was caught in the act, shouldn't there be two of them? But they came to trip Jesus up. But Jesus, in his grace and mercy, forgives and instructs her to go and sin no more. See, we are all in that place of deserving of death. And we can do, in one sense, we can do absolutely nothing about it. We're not in a position to be able to remove the sentence of death that's over us. But Jesus, in his great mercy, the mercy that we see a picture of in the life of David, as we see David bringing somebody under the sentence of death and setting them free and actually restoring to them all that they had lost. And Jesus, through his death on the cross for us, restores all that we have lost. He removes from us the sentence of death. So Paul says, for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So much so that in a few chapters later, Paul says in Romans again that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That it was the law of sin and death that condemned us, but through grace in Jesus Christ, we can receive eternal life. When we place our faith and trust in the one who loved us and gave himself for us. See, and we lost our inheritance, didn't we? In the Garden of Eden, what we see is that Adam and Eve walked with God. They had that close communion with God. They had that intimacy with God. But they gave it away when they succumbed to the temptation of the devil. But Jesus comes to restore what we have lost and to restore the inheritance that was taken from us or given away from us. See, the devil doesn't have power to take stuff away from us. But when we give him permission and we sign and say, you can have it, then we give over our right. And that's what Adam and Eve did in the garden. They gave over their rights to the devil. And we too today can do the same thing when we come into agreement with him. So when he whispers in your mind, you're not good enough, and you go, no, I'm not. You're coming into agreement with the devil. And you're giving him legal access to that part of who you are. The Bible speaks about not giving the devil a foothold. The word is topos. It means land. It's where we get the word topology from, topographical. And it talks about, it has that meaning of that we sign away this parcel of land. We sign away the deeds to what we're standing on, and we give the devil a foothold when we come into agreement with him. And Jesus comes to restore what we have lost and signed away. And we do that as we accept Jesus into our life and as we recognize and uphold the truth. In a few moments, we will sing, I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. Because Jesus restores us into the place that we have lost, and he restores everything that we have lost, so that Paul says that we become inheritors, joint heirs in the kingdom of God. The penalty is removed, our inheritance is restored, and we're given a place back at the table. We come to sit with God and enjoy that communion and fellowship that was taken away from us. One of the things I love about Alpha, and you'll know this, is that we sit together and we eat together. And that as we share over food, especially Lois's roast potatoes, oh, those of you that will have them will know how good they are, and the sausage casserole that goes with it. And just sitting together and eating together and chatting together brings a depth of fellowship and fun and enjoyment. And God calls us back to his table to share with him, to eat with him. Remember Revelations 21, isn't it? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, what's Jesus going to do? Come in and eat with him and he with me. Jesus invites you to come in and feast with him at his table, to have your rightful place where the honor of who you are is restored, and you know who you are in Jesus Christ. See, this little story in the Old Testament is a picture in so many ways of what Jesus has done for you and for me. But Mephibosheth could have said, no, I want to go back to where I was. I don't want what you've got for me. He had to accept and receive all that he had for him. And God today longs for you to accept and receive all that he has for you. Will you step into that? Will you receive what he has for you? That what you've lost can be restored. That you can have the death penalty removed and know it's gone. And to be at that place of honor and feasting with God. That's my prayer for all of us here today, that we would know that afresh, to have that fear removed and to be welcomed to feast with Jesus and celebrate all he has done for us. We're going to sing that God's had his hand on our lives right from the beginning. He loves you. And he wants to pour into your heart by his Holy Spirit that love so that you know with a certainty that you're saved, that you're restored, that you're forgiven, and that you can be feasting. So I'm going to ask you to stand. We'll pray. And as we sing, the ministry team will come forward. And we would love to pray for anybody that just has that sense of wanting again to either receive Jesus afresh, to know his grace in your lives. Ministry team, where are you? You should be here already. I know God is speaking to hearts today because he wants to fill you and empower you and bless you so that you know you're welcomed. You're not excluded, but you're called back into his premises, into his palace. There are people here to pray with you. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you for this story in the Old Testament. Thank you for that picture we see in David of Jesus with his grace and love and mercy. Thank you for his faithfulness to his promises. And thank you that you are faithful to your promises. And when we come before you humbly, Lord, that you forgive us and cleanse us, that you fill us and you restore us, and you welcome us to sit and feast with you. May that be the experience of us here today as you come by your Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Release that truth in us today that we are children of the living God and need have no fear. Come, Holy Spirit.
The impression I'm getting from the Lord is that that chap with the unpronounceable name, Mephibosheth, that one, he was residing in Lodabar. He was comfortable in Lodabar, but God wanted him somewhere else. He had a blessing for him somewhere else. He had to go from Lodabar to receive the best that God had for him. And I think maybe someone here knows that God's speaking to them today. He wants them to step out in faith and to accept what God's got for them. But to do that, you have to leave the comfort of Lodabar.
During the week, in prayer, the Lord said to me very clearly, freely you have received, freely give. There's someone here this morning, they hear Jesus knocking at the door, I know that. When I came to faith, I had never heard the gospel. I was standing in a kitchen decorating, but I sang, come to my heart, Lord Jesus, and he came. And I had to go to a church to understand that Jesus Christ of Nazareth gave his life for me. I received salvation freely. Now I'm asking, receive what he's offering you. When I received the Holy Spirit, I sat stubbornly in a chair refusing to give testimony until the Holy Spirit propelled me up and he came in his fullness. Enjoy today. Enjoy your Saviour. Accept him. Let him come into your heart. Let him transform you. Let him love you. A few weeks ago, when some of us were praying, there was a picture of a button with four holes. Those four holes represent Jesus as Saviour, Baptiser, Healer, and Coming King. As I prayed on the Monday or Tuesday morning, the Lord gave a message, quite simple. Let me love you. Let me embrace you. Let me hold you in my arms. I need to embrace you. I need to love you. Why don't you leave your place of safety and run towards him? He is so incredibly beautiful. Thank you.
Maybe some of those words are for you. Faith is about stepping out into the unknown and receiving. And we'd encourage you to do that. We're going to continue our service with some prayer. And there'll be people here at the end of the service who are ready and willing to pray with you. I'd encourage you to take that step and come and be prayed for. And we would love to pray for you and with you so that you can truly know the great blessings that Jesus wants to give. Do be seated.
This morning with the children, we've been talking together about what David did to help Jonathan's son with the unpronounceable name. Then we considered how we could help someone and how we could keep the promise that we were making. Hannah Mae, come forward. Hannah Mae's got two twin sisters, haven't you? And Hannah Mae decided that if they fell over, she would help them. She would give them first aid. So I thought that was really rather good. I thought that was worth sharing with you. Now, I'm going to ask you to do something similar. On your way into church, you were given a small piece of coloured paper. I'd like you now to give some very serious, prayerful thought about who you could help this coming week, following on with what Trevor was saying about stepping out in faith. It might be that you have to step out in faith to help this person. Okay, then on the piece of paper, you're going to name that person and what your promise of help would be. So it could be something on the lines like this. Name of person, Mary. And what I'm going to do? Well, I'm going to promise to ring her every evening before she goes to bed while her daughter is away on holiday next week. Something very simple, but something that would mean a lot to Mary, because that's when she used to talk to her daughter. Something I knew. But I'll leave it up to you as to what you're going to do, what promise you're going to make this morning, and stepping out in faith. Let us pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for David's kindness in promising to look after his great friend Jonathan's son. Help us to do the same for someone we know. Help us to step out in faith and to keep the promise or promises we've just made on these pieces of paper. Be with us if difficulties arise, and if need be, guide us to do what is best in the circumstances. Help us to show the same love, care, and concern that David did for the rest of his life to his friend's son. We ask you to bless these our promises of help in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. Amen. And now, as our Saviour taught us, so we pray together the words of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
So as we come to sing our final song, blessing the Lord for all that he has done for us, may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit come down upon you now, remain with you this day and always. Amen.